Welcome to Capgemini's podcast on diversity and inclusion. Diversity and inclusion is often a policy question with targets and goals, but ultimately it's about making everybody feel at home at an organization. But we also know that in practice, that is not always the case. So what to do when people feel like they don't belong or when they slip through the cracks of the culture of the organization? Well, at Capgemini, they may go to the Employability and Inspiration Center. And today, I am joined by two coaches at the E&IC, Evelien Bonenbakker and Wim Nieuwenhuizen. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks.
Well, before we dive into the D&I question, so diversity and inclusion, and especially inclusivity today, let's first hear about what the E&IC does.
The Employability and Inspiration Center is a coaching center we have within Capgemini, a unique facility. We coach colleagues from Capgemini, Société, Capgemini Engineering on all kinds of topics. Examples of these topics are, what do I want to do in my career? Or what is the purpose I'm living for? Or what will be my next step? Or, for example, I feel like I'm going to a burnout. What do I have to do to stop doing that? These are the kinds of questions we try to answer. We coach the colleagues to help them find their own answers to these questions.
Yes, sounds predominantly professional questions, but also personal.
It is both, because everything that happens in your personal lives affect also your work life. So especially now when you're working from home, you can not leave your emotional things next to your bed and go to your work and leave it there.
Maybe you're still on your bed when you're working.
Yes, that's possible now.
Both of you are a coach there, but you're also colleagues, obviously, because you work for Capgemini, but you also have experience in the field as consultants.
So we have a background as a consultant, so we know what it's like to be at the client side, to have an intake, but also to spend a couple of weeks on the bench. And on the other side, we are certificate coaches, so we have a good education as being a coach and several years experience.
Yeah, it's a nice combination. And Wim, you mentioned the entire Capgemini group in the Netherlands is your target group, which is like 5,000 people. So that seems like a lot. So how many people do you actually have day to day?
Well, if day to day, at this moment, for example, we have 67 people we are coaching. During all the years we exist, since 2012, we have coached more than 1,300 people.
Oh, so that's a serious number.
Yeah.
And among these people, how many come to you with a case that you could relate to one of our diversity and inclusion topics, like sexual orientation, different cultures, maybe disabilities? Do you recognize that in your work as well?
Yes, sure. And sometimes it's very easy to recognize. Sometimes it's more subtle. But for example, a colleague I have coached, he had a problem with his energy, and in fact he was always very tired. But he was continuing working as a project manager, and he had a burnout, and then he came to me to start again after the burnout. The main topic I have coached him on was accepting what was going on, right? Because he was fighting the fact that he had this disease. He had very few energy, and well, after a few months, he started to realize it was serious, and he had to really do something with it. And from that moment on, things started to change for him, and he accepted what was going on, and he made new choices to stop working in the end, because that was too heavy for him. But first, there was a fight of a few months, and in fact, he was fighting with me during the coaching, but he was in fact fighting with himself.
Yeah.
And that's also what he recognized when we finished the whole coaching. Yeah. But the hard part for him was to really absorb, accept, believe that, yeah, this is something serious and I have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do that for years because he didn't want it to be there. But yeah, denying is not will not make it go away.
Yeah. And what about you?
Yes, I'm coaching now a Chinese guy, and he struggles with his background. The two cultures, having a Chinese background, but also living in the Netherlands with the Dutch culture. And the Asian culture is about performing very well, that you mean something, that you're worth it if you have a high position.
Mm-hmm.
So that is about working hard, making long hours, because you have to work all your private hours to really achieve something. But that's not what he wants to be, because he's already very grateful what he achieved so far. And so are you only looking at the future, what the next steps will be? Or are you also appreciating what you have achieved so far? So we are talking about that as well. And that's different than the way he's raised and how his siblings are doing it.
Yeah. Do you also see that with, for example, religious values?
Yeah. I've coached someone who was very religious. And in fact, at the end of the coaching, he chose to dedicate his life to religion.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped working for Capgemini, and he started doing voluntary work with a religion background. And it was very hard for him to make that choice, because he had the financial security, of course, in working for Capgemini. He didn't have that security anymore. So how to deal with that? But for him, it was so important, the religion, that I helped him make that choice.
You think, like, long run, he would have been very unhappy and maybe even unproductive at Capgemini?
Yeah, well, it became harder and harder for him to combine the two.
Yeah.
The regular life as a consultant and his religious life. And for him, the religion was so fundamental, he wanted to really bring that into practice. And then, so helping someone to really live those values, that's what we did in the coaching.
Is that the common denominator here, that the outcome of a coaching session with you should be that you make an authentic choice and that you're happy, regardless of whether you stay
exactly
within?
Yes, inclusion doesn't mean that you stick within Capgemini. It means that you want to belong somewhere or within a company. And if it's not a fit anymore, or it's not a fit, then every conclusion is okay, as long as you do what you want.
Yeah, sometimes you can make it fit, but sometimes the best choice is to not. Okay.
And that's also okay.
And how do you approach this belonging question in your coaching, for example? Because if inclusivity is about belonging, can you make people feel like they belong? And do people come to you with feeling that they don't belong to begin with?
Sometimes they have that feeling. Sometimes they feel they are alone and they do not belong to the company or to the practice. And then we start investigating what's happening.
And is that usually like a diversity and inclusion issue, or could that be?
There,
like,
can be anything.
Anything.
A lot of people think they're not good enough, that they're not smart enough, not tall enough, not thin enough, not experienced enough, not young enough, not old enough, whatever.
Anything.
Anything. And we see that quite often. And that's it's also a part of shame. And shame is one of the basic emotions. So everybody has that. But how do you deal with that? Because if you feel not good enough, that you're going to please, to perfect, to overachieve things because you want to prove that you're worth it, not only to others, but also to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big pitfall, especially if it's not never good enough. You put the bar higher and higher. So we teach people that they are good enough as a person. You are the way you are. And that doesn't mean that you cannot develop yourself, because accepting who you are doesn't mean that your ambition go away. It means that you as a person, with your talents, your qualities, but also all the crazy things about you, are okay.
And Wim, of course, in a podcast, nobody will notice, but you are visually impaired. So you've lost a lot of your sight while you were working for Capgemini. Does that also help you become a coach that can empathize with people in a way that, you know, you said makes them feel like I'm not the only one?
Yes, for sure. That's happening because the process of accepting something difficult is a very hard process.
Mm-hmm.
And losing my visual capacities is a hard process. And so I have gone through all the steps you can imagine, like being mm-hmm. angry, denying, being afraid, everything.
Yeah.
When something hard happens, and I recognize that when I coach people that have also tough topics to go through,
mm-hmm.
and then I tell them, I say, okay, I see what's happening, I feel what's happening. And they feel recognized, and this is very important, that they feel that they are seen and they are heard in their struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's a very strong advantage. Well, if I would have chosen for not having all this, but it also gave me a lot of experience and it forced me to go through a hard process, but a process which is very valuable in my role as a coach.
Yeah. Well, that really raises an interesting topic because I mentioned already, like, there's a group that focuses on being inclusive for people with mental and physical disabilities. And at Capgemini, we call it capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with CAP, like Capgemini. And that is because it focuses on the positive side. You
yeah.
can have some kind of disability, but it also brings a new perspective. And you just explained, like, this is exactly, it's been very valuable to you. But you also mentioned, like, you wouldn't have chosen it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about approaching physical disability from, like, a what can you still do perspective? How do you approach that?
It is important to think about what you can do. If you are being constructive and optimistic, this is very crucial to survive and to find new possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
If you think in possibilities, a lot of things are possible. But before you can do that, you have to accept the facts. And the facts are hard because... really accepting the fact that I'm losing my sight. I knew it already for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't really swallow it emotionally.
Right.
I knew it with my head, but my heart was still in denial. And letting it in my heart and really also mourning about this fact,
right.
Well, that took me 2 years. It was, in fact, the period before I stopped driving my car.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I handed over my keys to my boss, mm-hmm. that was a hard moment.
Yeah.
And but that was also a new start for me of more easy part of my life. The hard work was done before that. And you have to do the hard work before you can really think in possibilities. Because if you only think in possibilities but don't really accept the truth, the facts, then something is missing and you're not using your potential.
Okay. And at the same time, you know, you were already at Capgemini when your sight started deteriorating. How do you feel, also from a perspective of inclusivity? I mean, there's people who have similar, maybe not the eyesight, but similar problems. How do you feel Capgemini has dealt with you as an employee facing this kind of challenge?
In a perfect way, to be honest, all those years.
Tell us, what's the perfect way?
The perfect way is, well, it have to come from both sides. Eh? So as an employee, you have to start. You have to tell what's going on, and you have to tell what you need. If you do that, Capgemini gives you all the help you need. Yeah, a very good example of that is the moment I had to stop driving my car. I already mentioned it. I was very afraid of telling my boss that I would stop driving my car because at that moment in time, I was account manager. And I thought, yeah, when I tell that, he's going to fire me because an account manager without a car, how do you do that? So I waited for 2 years and I was, oh, yeah, how do I do that? And oh, what will be my next work if I'm getting fired? And I was afraid, well, a lot of energy went to this point. And then came the moment I told it. And he said, Wim, you are a good guy. Tell me what you need and I give it to you. And I thought, why did I wait so long before telling this? And this is a good example of how Capgemini reacts. So this was a very constructive reaction to this moment.
But you did say earlier that that's when the hard part was already done.
Yeah.
Is that the phase that you went through doubting yourself and being scared of it?
Yeah, because there was no escape anymore for me to not tell it. Because all the options I had in my head were gone. And the doctor told me, Wim, you really have to stop driving now. It's dangerous. So I thought, yeah, okay, I'm crazy if I continue. So that was the moment I really told it.
Yeah, so the employee goes first and then the employer has to react accordingly and accommodate.
Yeah, and he gave me all the support and need and help and everything I could imagine. So, and that's the pattern I see all those years.
Yeah, and that's something great to relay to your coachees as well, actually.
Exactly. But you need trust to do that.
Yeah.
But that's hard because you don't know what's going to happen. And so it's easy to get afraid.
Yeah. And Evelien, I know you didn't see Wim for a long time until today here in the studio, but for you at the ENIC, it's like a very normal thing to have Wim around. You have to kind of show him around sometimes if things have changed in the office.
Yes, well,
what's
especially
like?
Well, you have to be very careful with Wim in your neighborhood, because if he's sitting next to you and you don't put your glass or water far away and he doesn't know where it is, it can just go on the table. And of course, don't put things on the floor, because if Wim knows the way in the office, then he is not expecting that something is different. So you have to be very careful.
Yeah.
And the good thing about Wim is that he dares to ask for help. And that is something really important, not only for Wim, but for everyone. It is not weak to ask for help.
And if we take a step one more level up in terms of abstraction, how do you see, both of you, how do you see your role at the Employability and Inspiration Center in making Capgemini more diverse and inclusive? Do you see a specific role for you guys?
Yes and no. Yes, because what we think is really important is that people belong to something or someone. And that's connection is one of the main purposes we have in life. We want to belong to our family, to our friends, to a sports team, to our company, to our team. And if you struggle with that, we can help you with that, to feel connected, not only to others, but also connected to yourself. And that means that you accept yourself the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you might be different, but everybody is different because everybody is unique. And for me, that is the main reason why I'm a coach. And I want to help you figure out what your uniqueness are, and that you really accept yourself and love yourself for who you are.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Wim? What do you think your role is?
Yeah, for me, my role is clear that in my work as a coach, I can help people all day in showing them, okay, this is what's happening. Perhaps it doesn't seem very easy for you, but look, this is possible. And so to give someone a perspective, a good, healthy perspective with a lot of positive energy, this is what we are doing as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And from my own experience, I can show, okay, perhaps your situation may seem difficult, but everything is possible. And to help them see that and feel that.
Yeah.
That's how I do my coaching. And it's very fulfilling if you see people change, that they start believing also these possibilities for themselves. And then they start opening and being happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see a big role there for myself.
And also that it is okay that it is hard. Life is not only about happy moments.
Mm-hmm.
So allow yourself to feel disappointed, to feel hurt or struggle with things. That's okay too.
Yeah, it's like the acceptance thing that was one of the first phases that you had to go through to really be able to have an outlook.
Yeah, and accepting doesn't mean that, okay, I've accepted and I can never complain about it or can never cry about it. No, it means that you allow yourself to feel those emotions and see what is possible.
Yeah, so it's about, you know, resilience.
Yes.
You know,
you,
because on the one hand, you should take responsibility as a company. But on the other hand, if everybody expects the company to take that responsibility for you, you will at some point run into difficulties, right?
I think it's a collaboration. You have to do it together and not finger point to each other. You have to take your own responsibilities, but the company has a responsibility in it too.
Yeah, I think it's a joint responsibility. And within the Capgemini culture, the employee starts. That's the first one to be responsible to say what you want and need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and on the other hand, the company needs to create a safe environment so that you feel safe to say what you want.
Exactly. And that's what's already happening.
Yeah.
Capgemini creates that safe environment so that stimulates the employees to really come out with what they want and what they need.
Yeah.
But you have to say it.
How important is it for, say, like a big organization somewhere in the Netherlands to have a center like the Employability and Inspiration Center ready for these kinds of situations? Well, I mean, I'm not asking you to do an elevator pitch, but I'm curious, like, how important is it? What have you experienced so far?
Well, of course, you're asking me that. I think it's really, really, really important. What else can I say? But if you see what the impact is and that we can have on people, it's life-changing, and I'm really feeling honored that I'm able to create that impact with the coachee.
Yeah, and the strong point is Capgemini facilitates this internally, because when we tell about our center to the new joiners during the onboarding, they say, oh, that's great that these facilities are available internally. And that's exactly the difference between what we do and external coaching. And because we are in the company, and people can come to us and we understand what's happening.
But so far, thank you so much, Wim and Evelien, for joining me and for sharing your story here in this podcast. And for all the listeners, thank you as well, and hope to speak to you next time.